When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Let it build up. You look at me like I'm nuts.
Let's go.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You know what that music means. It's that one guy that likes that one song. It's our guy. It's Mark Grody. It's Grody time.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Mark joins us on the Otero Hotline, your all-weather tire, Otero.com.
How's it going, Grody?
It's just building up, Mark.
What's happening? Yeah, I know Haw just wants to get down to business.
Yeah,
I know.
He's serious.
Doesn't have time for this nonsense unless there's twangy country music playing in the background.
Don't mock my country music.
Wow.
I'm not mocking it. I'm just disliking it.
He's more the modern country. He's not the twangy country.
Luke Combs, Pandora. Yeah, a little. Yeah.
That's cool. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Faces.
That's I don't want to admonish anyone's music. That's not cool to do, and I did it. So yeah. I apologize.
I'm wounded.
Very hurtful.
I know you are.
Speaking of wounded, what did you make of yesterday's tortured press conference?
Well, I mean, I think that it would have been very easy for Shane Waldron towards the end. I mean, there was a certain amount of responsibility that Shane Waldron did take throughout the press conference, and I just think that there was a company line going into this, that they rep, if we're talking about Doug Kramer, we rep the play, we liked the play, we trusted our guys, like they were, that's what everybody's been saying, that is on the coaching staff, you know, going back to Matt Eberflus and some of the assistants, we were confident, man, we thought that we could pull this off, and we didn't, and we don't regret it, but what I keep saying is you're never going to see Doug Kramer carry the football again for the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying he would not ever be out there again blocking. I think it would be silly to extinguish that from your playbook, but this is just something that's not going to happen again. For some reason, they did not want to say they would never do it again, and I don't know if that's gamesmanship or protecting themselves or whatever the case may be is, but yeah, it's just like it would have been easy to take this out. And I'll tell you what would have been easier, an easy way to have us not still talking about this on Friday would have been to, you know, let your offensive coordinator speak earlier in the
Thank
week.
You.
You know, I mean, like, and I don't know if that's just the Bears. I'm sure other teams do it, so I'm not necessarily, you know, pointing this as a criticism towards the Bears, but it's silly that they look at us funny when we want to ask these questions this late in the week. I mean, always is an issue when we are nitpicking plays from the previous week because we don't get a chance to talk to the offensive coordinator and to the defensive coordinator until Thursday. So if they want to turn the page, this was an extraordinary circumstance. Maybe make an exception and let us talk to these guys earlier, and then we don't have to talk about it and we don't have to keep covering the story and we can turn the page. But that obviously that's not the case.
Did the coordinator blame the quarterback for not handing off the ball correctly? I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know what I heard because I heard something that, like, I think it was like a spit take I went through when I heard him say that. They'd run the play again. But it was just weird. Weird and odd and strange and strange.
I don't remember the exact words that he used, like right off the top of my head, Mully, but he did generalize it to where he wasn't necessarily blaming Doug Kramer and sounded like he was handing a little bit of blame, maybe to Caleb Williams, that it was just a bad you know, it was a bad handoff in general by all parts. Yeah, I think those are the words he used, by all parts. And it might not have been an ideal handoff by Caleb Williams, but that just goes to the heart of the issue.
Exactly.
that you've got a guy that is not adept, no matter how many reps he's done as a running back in his life, no matter how many times he's practiced it. This is an offensive lineman in the National Football League. It's not like they just turned him into an offensive lineman when he came to the Bears. So that goes to the heart of the matter, that if this was a running back, if it was a bad handoff, a running back or an actual fullback probably would have adjusted, and there wouldn't have necessarily been a fumble.
You know, Mark, I think Caleb Williams could have a big game on Sunday. He finished 6-9 in the fourth quarter after a real shaky first three quarters. Maybe going back home affected him, and he certainly wasn't as composed as he normally is. What did you hear from Caleb Williams this week that makes you expect maybe good things, or what do you expect from him against the Cardinal defense?
Well, unfortunately, there just is not a pattern of Caleb Williams getting off to fast starts. I mean, it's not even that. They've been bad starts for Caleb Williams. But to answer, and I'll come back to that, yeah, I do think that this is a scenario in which Caleb Williams could have a really good game. I mean, yes, they are not a good defense. You know, Shane Waldron kept talking about how, and this was the good stuff from Shane Waldron, about how they are good at disguising and putting players in different positions. So it is something that has to be taken into account for a rookie quarterback. I mean, I think that's the only chance that they're going to have against, like, Caleb Williams proper. But you do have the problems along the offensive line. Arizona knows what's going on. My guess is that they're going to bring more heat, and we have not been able to straighten out who's playing and who's not. And I'll be out at Hallis Hall later on today reporting, and hopefully we'll find out about Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones and the rest of these injured guys, and see who's in and see who's out. But that has to be play a part, no matter how bad the Arizona defense is. And as for the slow starts for Caleb Williams, and you're right, I mean, like, he finished strong, and that is ultimately what matters. But they do have to figure this out eventually. But I did get a great answer yesterday that I played on the afternoon show in regards to, you know, what exactly has been going on with the slow starts. And, like, we asked Shane Waldron about it, and Waldron, again, gave a good answer, because he gave specifics about the penalties and some issues with the connection with center and quarterback and things like that. But Kerry Joseph, the quarterback's coach, finally just came out and said, when I asked him, he's like, he's 22 years old. There's going to be a little bit of anxiety. He's seeing things for the first time every single week that he hasn't seen. And there's no doubt that Caleb Williams had to have been, no matter what he said to us in the press conference, he's still a human being, and he had to have been amped up with all the built-in storylines. And I think that's what's happening to him. You know, the last week's game, that was the Caleb Williams that we were seeing in training camp, quite frankly, where the defense would win the day, and we'd come out and we'd get on the radio and we'd tell you, like, Caleb, you know, was kind of sloppy, a couple interceptions by the defense. The defense is better than the offense. Oh, but there were two or three elite plays in camp. That's what you guys and we all saw last week, that he reminds you, like, no matter how bad of a game he could be having, that there is that elite there, which I stand by, will eventually sprout and show itself on a regular basis. We're never going to look back, but there are some things that they still need to figure out about Caleb's game in general.
Well, I can answer that question. What's gone wrong in the first quarter, it's fairly apparent, and I know this because we were looking for it coming out of the bye week. They are terrible on third down, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had a couple third downs. The first one was third and 15, which they jumped, and it wound up third and 20. I don't know, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers can throw a third and 20 pass that'll work out for you, but there's not many ways of getting around that one. And the second one was third and 10. That was it. They had two third downs, because I was watching to see if they were going to have adjusted during the bye week and they'd do better on third down in the first quarter. They are something like third and 17, third and 20. I keep getting confused as to what their record is on the road versus what their record is on third down in the first quarter.
Oh,
it's both terrible. terrible. So if you convert on first and second and you get a manageable third down, guess what? You're going to get a first down.
Third and long is a killer for any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. And again, you know, some of it is self-imposed. I mean, last week we just saw some inaccuracies from, when I say self-imposed, I mean Caleb Williams. We just saw some inaccuracies on his throws. So, like, easy plays. Like, you know, a throw to Keenan Allen that with green grass in front of him, just a screen pass. Like, it's not like they've overcomplicated things. And I don't think Shane Waldron has overcomplicated things for Caleb early in the game, trying to establish a run game, short, quick passes to make him feel confident. So I guess, you know, and that is incumbent upon the Bears offensive coaching staff to figure that out. Okay, so if that's not going to work, what about this? You know, Caleb Williams also talked about, you know, has talked about a lot about, you know, throws that he, or completions that he normally would make. So, you know, some of these are plays that maybe if you do repeat, that he is going to be accurate on, especially considering some of them being really simple philosophies and plays that they have been trying to run for him early on in games.
Mark, we only got a minute, but you've been around a long time. You've been around the Bears now to sense what's going on and maybe have expectations about what's going to happen. Do you sense, being around the locker room this week in the building, that this is a team unraveling, or what do you expect on Sunday?
I did not pick the Bears to win. I am picking Arizona to win. And by the way, my winning streak is over. I did miss last week. I did think the Bears were going to win last week. And boy, were we all close. But I am picking Arizona to win this game 24-21. As far as the locker room is concerned, no, I don't think the locker room is on. I mean, look, all of the potential exists. I know I've heard the word mutiny thrown out there, that they're on the verge of that. I certainly have not sensed that yet. I think that there has been and I guess good, and some of it is our part, the media's part. There has been an obsession this week with figuring out what the fallout from last week's game and all of the comments that have been made on, mostly on our radio station, from various players, including DJ Moore on the Mully and Haw show. They have spent the week addressing things like that. What we want to keep in-house, what you guys can talk about. So we're going to find out if everybody is cool with what's happened. Let's say the Bears do lose this game. Let's say I am right and the Bears lose and they fall to 4-4. No, I don't think that all of us said, oh man, now it's time to panic. The time to panic would probably be closer to losing to New England at home. If they lose the next two in a row, because 500 in the NFL, that, you know, air quotes, early in the season, I think it's ridiculous to think that somehow, like, that's good, like they're 4-4 and they're crumbling. Now, if it's another chaotic, colossally bad loss where horrible things happen, then it's a different conversation. But if they just lose the game and they're 4-4, I don't think this team is crumbling yet. I don't think we're there yet. There's just too much time to go in the season, and 4-4 is not disgraceful.
Great stuff, Mark.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Grody.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
That's our guy, Mark Grody, and he's like the Minnesota Vikings. He's now going to lose two in a row. He started strong, as you heard him tell you, but he's going to lose again. I don't know how that happens. We got Bruce Levine next. We're going to talk about Will Venable, or Venerable, whatever way we want to pronounce it. He's the new White Sox
manager. He's the new White Sox manager. We'll see what Bruce has to say.
Mully and Haw on the score.